We're back with Maria Garcia to talk about her journey in creating the Anything for Selena podcast, which is a co-production with WBUR and Futuro Studios. The series weaves Maria's personal story as a queer first-generation Mexican immigrant with cultural analysis, history, and politics to explore how 25 years after her death, Selena remains an unparalleled vessel for understanding Latino identity and American belonging. Today, here with me is Maria Garcia. Welcome back.
Hi, Marina. I'm glad to be here.
So are you tired of talking about Selena?
No, I had to ask. No, not at all. You know what's so funny? When I was in grad school, I took this book writing course, this like really rigorous book writing course where like you finished the course with like a book proposal in hand. And like the point was like to sell the book proposal. And I spent 6 months working on this book proposal. And it was basically about like the last 100 years of Mexican feminism through like the eyes of like 3 generations of my family. And it was like so intense. And then somebody gave me some very sage advice and told me, write something that you won't tire of. Like write something that energizes you, that fills you with joy, that will never satiate your curiosity. I just dropped.
You're like, bye-bye, 100 years of family.
It's still there. It's still there. Maybe I will. I will write that book one day. But I knew that like right now, what I wanted to do, like what my heart called out to, like what I really wanted to sort of dig into was Selena. And the thing is, look, there's a ton of stuff about Selena out there, like every year around her anniversary and her birthday, there's like a flurry of stories, right? And and they do well because everybody's still hungry for Selena content. But there's nothing that goes deep. There's nothing that combines like rigorous journalism, incisive cultural analysis, and like just very vulnerable, intimate storytelling to really connect the dots through the decades, to really unpack how she changed culture. And so that's what I hope the podcast does. And after a year of like actively like researching, writing, thinking all things Selena, I can still say like, I love her more. I'm amazed more with her than I was when I started.
Is there anything, because I mean, you said you're a devotee, you're a super fan, any preconceived notions ever that you had that maybe didn't turn out the way you had thought or had formulated in your brain as you worked through this process?
Yeah. You know, I came to know a much more vulnerable Selena than I think the world knows. And it came through these very sort of these tiny moments of insight. One, for example, that we're going to share in our next episode. Her dad told me sort of in passing during an interview, this story of when they stopped for lunch on tour at a Whataburger, and then they all got off and he forgot the keys inside and they were locked out of Big Bertha, their tour bus. And Selena wanted to save the day. So she volunteered to go through a very small rectangular window on the driver's side of the tour bus. And she did, but she got stuck because her butt was too big. Like it was, she just could not get in, you know, and it got a little hairy for a second. They thought they were going to have to like call the fire department. They tried to pull her out like for several minutes. And this was in front of her entire band. And afterward, everybody laughed and it became this sort of like fun little anecdote that they all, this inside joke on tour. But on the way home, Selena wept. She cried.
Yeah.
And her dad told me, you know, everybody was laughing on the tour bus and there she was crying. And this was a woman, you know, who wore the tightest of tights, who was used to answering questions about her body, especially in the Latin American press. I mean, they constantly asked her about her body, about the way she dressed, about the way she celebrated her curves. This was a woman who was used to wearing revealing clothes in front of tens of thousands of people on international stadiums, who was used to, you know, people staring at her body. And yet she cried because her butt couldn't fit through a window. She was human. She was a living, breathing woman, not just an icon or an idea. And to me, those are the moments that I hold on to, like the moments that remind me of her humanity, of her vulnerability. And to get to know that Selena, not just the empowered Selena on stage, not just the badass, but to know like the sensitive, vulnerable human behind that artistry has been like truly an honor.
What can I say from my point of view? You turned Abraham into like a person that I actually felt compassion for and telling your story, Abraham being her dad. And I think, you know, like many others, you know, fell prey to how he was portrayed in media and maybe not necessarily given a fair treatment. Yes, he's an overprotective father, but somehow you forget that and you made him a human. So thank you for that. I don't know if he's heard it or if you know, if he's
he has. He sent me a text last week and he told me he loved it and he was proud of me.
Yeah, you go, girl.
And he was proud of the work. And he said it made him cry. He said the episode made him cry. You know, I had very complicated feelings about Abraham, and it really was like that. Like on the plane right there to Corpus Christi, I had no guarantees that he would even talk to us. You know, like I said, he had kind of ghosted me. The record label had told us, oh, the Quintanilla family has flat out denied your request to license her music. They don't want to be a part of this project at all, and they don't want you to use her music. So that was already a huge obstacle, like, on the plane right there. Yeah, but I knew that as a journalist, I had to make like a good faith approach, not just to get his blessing or to talk to him, but to really try to understand him as a person. You know, Selena talked about him all of the time, not just as her father, but as a guiding force in her artistry. They had a bond as artists, and I wanted to capture that. And I wasn't going there to prove he was a good father or a bad father. I was going there to try to get to know him as a human. There's no rose-colored glasses here. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about his controlling nature. We talk about the way he threatened to take away essentially Selena's career to try to keep her from her relationship with Chris. But Selena, even in the complicated relationship that she had with her father, she asserted her autonomy constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, she started the boutique business, not as a little like side hobby, but it was a way to have something that was just hers, a way to pave a path in her life that she wanted to choose a path for herself. And this was incredibly powerful for somebody who, you know, from the time she was 9 years old, she started singing to help put food on the table for her family. And so I wanted to sort of peel back the layers, and I couldn't do it without also getting personal and like really confronting some of my own, you know, the complicated relationship that I have with my father and what Abraham surfaced for me. So yeah, that was for sure the episode that was the most painful to write, but the episode so far that I've heard from people who say like, wow, that episode really spoke to me. I felt really seen in that. And that's been super rewarding.
No, it's true. That second episode is like, dang, she did that. Yes, she did. So yeah. What do we have to expect? How long is the series? Because right now, every Wednesday, I'm like, download.
Thank you. So there's 9 narrative episodes, and then there'll be a 10th sort of bonus episode that'll be a recorded conversation of an event. And maybe we'll try to squeeze in, I got this like sort of wild idea a week ago for another episode, and we are going to try our best to sort of hustle and produce it in the next couple of weeks. But oof, you know, like we go deep, you know, like episode 4, which is coming up, is the episode of body politics. And we look at how Selena, changed not just beauty standards, but the politics around big butt culture in the US. But really, that story revealed to me a deeper analysis of how Latino identity is complicated relationship with Blackness. Mm-hmm. And the way sort of the most current iteration of Latinidad, of what Latino identity looks and feels like and sounds like in the US, which in the mid 90s really coalesced around sort of Selena and J-Lo as sort of the apex symbols of Latinidad. Yeah, and how Latino identity has a very fraught relationship with Blackness. And we do that through the history of the butt, through the history of the derriere. Yes. So it's like, it's deep cultural analysis focused on the butt.
Brought to you by Maria Garcia.
Yeah.
How much longer are you in El Paso? Are you going to wrap up this project and then go back to Boston? Or what are you feeling?
Yeah. I think I'm going to wrap up this project and probably head back to the East Coast. I have this dream. I hope I can make it come true. We'll see. I have this dream that I can winter here.
Why not? I mean, you wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah. I have this dream that I can come here for the winters and be in the East Coast the rest of the time. And honestly, if I can be honest, Marina, like I would have stayed in El Paso if I would have had the professional opportunities that were afforded to me elsewhere. I love it here. I'm so passionate about telling the stories of people here. But, you know, I grew out of television news. I went into television because it was sort of the most accessible form of journalism that I grew up with. Both of my parents had to quit school by the time they were 13. They moved to the States when I was 3. You know, I'm a Mexican immigrant with sort of the experience of sort of a first gen Mexican American as mm-hmm. well. So I grew up working class, watching television news, Univision in Spanish. And so that was the most like accessible form of journalism in my life. And that's why I did television news for so long. But then I realized in my late 20s, I was like, I've grown out of this.
You're like, I'm ready to do something.
Yeah, this isn't fulfilling me anymore creatively. And, you know, and also that form is really limiting in like the kind of stories you can tell and the depth with which you can dig. And I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to do sort of cultural analysis. And if I would have been able to do that here, frankly, I would have stayed. But I couldn't. And I've made a life in Boston and New York, and I'm grateful for my life there. But yeah, cross your fingers. I'm hoping that I can make it to the point where I can come here for the winter and be here and like have a little house here that I come back to in the winter. So we'll see.
Well, we'd love that. Thank you so much, Maria, for sharing your story and for creating this amazing podcast. Today, my guest has been Maria Garcia. She is host of the Anything for Selena podcast. You can download it literally wherever you listen to podcasts, and we all highly recommend that you do so. Thank you, Maria, for coming to State of the Arts.